Father our Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can quieten our hearts as we have come together before you, that we might again seek thy face and seek present help as we would seek to learn a little more from the Word of God. We ask of thee that thou remember tonight. Thou knowest our feebleness, thou knowest our need. We thank thee again for thy grace, and we thank thee for what thou art doing each day. We bless thee for the leading of God through this another day. We thank thee again for thy preserving care. We thank thee for ministering to our every need. We thank thee for maintaining us with spiritual desires. We bless thee that our hearts would still desire to be before thee and around the Word of God. All this is of thy staff. Many saints that once gathered, they seem to be lost as far as divine things are concerned. They're out in the world. We remember them tonight. We ask what it might please thee to speak with them. We thank thee again that the same Spirit that brings us to Christ is the same one that would bring a work of restoration. We would ask of thee that thou remember such who are not walking well. We pray that the lots amongst us who are vexing their just souls, that they might recognize that there's a need to separate from evil things and walk with the Lord. We do pray thou remember them. For thy goodness towards, O God, and again for thy keeping power, and the fact that there's still a desire within our hearts who would render thanks. We pray that these holy exercises, moving in and out of the saints of God, might have a purging and purifying effect, and cause us to maintain our lives holy for our Lord Jesus. We thank thee again for that blessed man. We thank thee for what he has done. O God, we'll never be able to estimate it all. Eternity will never be able to fathom it all. We'll gaze upon his lovely face. We'll see him in all his fullness, and we'll recognize something of the work that's been wrought. Perhaps now not yet fully told out. We thank thee, Lord, it can never be fully expressed. The whole of eternity to dwell in all that the Lord Jesus is and all that he has done. We do thank thee for any measure of appreciation. We thank thee tonight for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee again for all that we have in him. We thank thee for all that thou art doing for us daily in thy beloved Son. Tonight again we look to thee. We pray that thou bless us as we open the Word of God. We ask that the Spirit of God himself might unveil holy and divine things. We thank thee that the Word of God came by the Spirit of God, that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Spirit. We thank thee today that we don't handle the Word of men. We bless thee, we handle the living Word, the Word of God. We thank thee that it is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We ask, O God, tonight, that it might do its own work. For thou knowest all of our needs. And there are, if there are saints that need to be encouraged, we pray that there might be a word for them. If there are saints that need a word of rebuke, we ask, O God, that the Spirit of God might speak. And whatever are our needs tonight, if we need a little strength for the journey, and if we need, Lord, for certain things to be set forth clearly within our minds doctrinally, we ask again that whatever is brought out tonight, it might be evident that the Spirit of God is amongst us. We thank thee tonight that we do look to him and to thee alone, and we do pray thy rich blessing as we're in thy presence. We thank thee for all gathered, and we do pray thy blessing as we're before thee. We'd not be unmindful, Lord, to remember saints that are not able to gather with thine own tonight, and again we ask that thou minister to them and bless them. Remember the widows, remember the shut-in, draw near, and we ask again that they might know something of the richness of divine presence day by day. We think again of saints that are ill, we commend again Lord that measure to thee. And perhaps others in the locality, we ask of thee that it might please thee to bless them. And we ask that they might go up to the presence of God and that it please thee to strengthen them and recover them. We think of the coming gospel effort in thy goodwill in the city. We ask of thee, Lord, that it might please thee to open many a heart and to see many souls saved as the tent comes. We thank thee for the prayers that have been answered of thy children. And we thank thee that in the coming months they will be sitting around the gospel. And we do pray, Lord, that many might be saved. Particularly will be praying for the children of thy children. We ask, O God, that thy saints might have the blessed joy of seeing their own families gathering. And we ask that this time there might be a great weeping, as there are those that have brought the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We just commit the brethren to thee that will be taking part. And we pray, Lord, that it might please thee to use them mightily in these days, that saints for many a day might rejoice as they would talk well with the hand of God with them. We pray that saints might pray on, and we pray, Lord, that thy hand might be opened, and that the work of God might be strengthened. We commit them to thee. These are many things, and we just leave all with thee. Through God, we would just leave the hour. We pray again that we might shut in with that, be shut in with thyself. We ask that we might know the rich blessing of God tonight. We ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Exodus, please, and chapter 13. Verse 20, they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. To go by day and night, he took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And the Lord spake unto the Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye camp by the sea. Now into chapter 15, please. Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness, and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which, when he had cast into the waters were sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth in the wilderness, into this wilderness, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And then, for the rest of the chapter, we have the giving of the manna. Now, into chapter 17, please. Verse 1. All the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Now, down to verse 5, the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Then came Amalek, and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now we trust that God will grant his blessing to the reading of his precious word again this evening. There are six or seven things I'd like to bring with you tonight, child of God. And those six or seven things that we have in mind would mean that we can't spend too long on any one of them. We do trust that as we do take a look at them, that God might be gracious and give a little help, and that the ministry might be a blessing to the saints of God. You'd notice that our chart is divided into two parts. I did say on the first day here that the top part, that really is the book of Exodus. The bottom part, it takes us basically into the book of Numbers. The reason why it's like that is because it's the only piece of linen cloth I had. And when I gave it to the boy that did it for me, well, this was the only way we could do it. But I was very glad, you know, because when we determined to do it this way, it suddenly dawned on me something I'd never noticed before, that in the book of Exodus, child of God, we are under grace. Whereas when you come to the book of Numbers, the people are under law. For the book of Exodus basically would take the people up until the time where they came to Sinai. Once they came under Sinai, child of God, they turned from being under grace to being under law. And so their journeys to Sinai, that was all grace. The journeys from Sinai was all law. And one thing we would notice is that when we take a look at the journeys under grace, child of God, there was awful failure. Awful failure. Just as there was awful failure when they were under law. But there's a difference, you know. Because when that people were under grace, bless God for the grace of God. For in spite of the failure, in spite of the sin, God in his grace, child of God, was still blessing them. Murmuring here, murmuring here, murmuring here, murmuring here. And in spite of all the murmurings, God, he pours out his blessing. Gives them the tree for the water. Gives them manna from heaven. Gives them water from the rock. God in his grace, he's pouring out blessing. I want to tell you tonight, child of God, I'm very, very glad that you and I are under grace. Very, very glad. But I tell you, we're not much different, are we? Though the book of Corinthians we saw in our opening night would tell us that all these things were written for our ensample, we still murmur, you know, don't we? And we're very much like Israel, you know. 3 days out of the wilderness, and they started to murmur. 15 days out of the wilderness, fifteen days out of Egypt, and they're starting to murmur. And when they start to murmur, child of God, God in his grace, he just pours out his blessing. It's as if, you know, that they've forgotten the greatness of God. They've forgotten the blood that was shed. They've forgotten the firstborn slain. They've forgotten the mighty deliverance. They've forgotten already the sea that opened and brought them through safely on the other side. And as soon as the difficulties come, and as soon as the hardship starts to rise, then immediately the heart starts to rise in murmurings against God. You know, child of God, we need to be very, very thankful today that we're under grace. Because some of us still, don't we? We forget the grace of God toward us. And we forget what is wrought in a day gone by. Shouldn't that be enough to give us faith and confidence that he'll never fail us in the days that lie ahead? And I want to tell you tonight, I'm certainly not pointing an accusing finger. If anyone's ever failed, I'd have to hang my head in shame times without number. But I feel so often, child of God, just like the children of Israel. The moment the difficulties and the hardships come, and we start to murmur,
And I'm only telling you, you know, what I know comes the pathway of so many of us. And I'm just one of them. I do bless God we're under grace. You know, the story changed somewhat when they came under law. But when that people came from Mount Sinai and they started on their journey the second time from Sinai towards the promised land, child of God, they started to murmur again. But God willing, on Lord's Day, we shall see how things were entirely different. Because on Lord's Day, I wanted to take a look at some of the failures here in connection with the book of Numbers. And we shall see, child of God, that whereas here God met them and met their need, here we will see how the judgment of God came in. A judgment of God that caused many of them to die in the wilderness and the likes of a Miriam to be put out of the camp and the ground to open up to swallow a corner and for the whole of them to miss the blessings of the land of Canaan, at least those 600,000 footmen that came out. Apart from two of them, God had them slain in the wilderness. Child of God, they came from grace. They came under law. Never put yourself under law. You bless God for his grace. For in spite of what we are, and in spite of our murmurings, in spite of our failings, we've still a God that is gracious toward us. We're living in a dispensation of grace. No, we shouldn't murmur, child of God. We should learn, shouldn't we, from the experiences we're passing through. And we should trust. But how often, every one of us, we can recall those days when we wish, you know, that we'd never passed that way and we'd never failed our God. But we're still here today. And God in his grace is still blessing us today. But child of God, we're all under grace. And you never underestimate what it means to be in this dispensation of grace. For I tell you, if we were under law, the room would be half empty. We would never be able to survive it, child of God. The grace of God toward us. Such is what we have when we come here. But I wanted to take a look now. Last night, we were going on to see something of the lessons that they learned whilst they were at supper. Tonight, we notice that they've come to Etham. We're in chapter 13, and we discover, child of God, that they've come to the place that just simply means with them or their plowshare. And here, Etham, the name just simply means with them. It's a lovely name, isn't it? For child of God, it was at Etham where the children of Israel, they got that pillar cloud. I'm glad it was a pillar, you know. But a pillar is never a testimony, isn't it? We were speaking with someone during the week and we were seeing how that Abraham, he was the man of altars. Isaac, he was the man of the wells. Jacob, he's the man of the pillars. And if an Abraham was ever raising altars for God, he was the worshipper, you see. And if an Isaac was ever digging wells, he was looking for satisfaction here, found it in the well. There was a man that was always raising pillars, always leaving a testimony behind. That was the man Jacob. And a pillar ever brings before us a testimony. I'm glad that when I come to look at this pillar cloud, child of God, if ever there was a testimony to the goodness of God, here it is. It's been raised for all to see. And they're going to follow that pillar cloud. Child of God, you'd often wonder, wouldn't you, how this people could fail so miserably when there was the constant testimony of the goodness of God toward them. For in spite of all their failures, in spite of all that God had to do for them, we discover when we come to the end of verse 22 of chapter 13, it says that he took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. For this child of God, the first thing we notice is it came absolutely unsolicited. They didn't pray for it, didn't ask for it. It was just again the gracious favour of God, the child of God. God was going to send that pillar cloud. that he might lead and guide them all the journey home. Coming on redemption ground, for you remember, they come under blood. And as they came under blood, God gave them that pillar cloud. I believe, child of God, it's the most beautiful emblem of the Spirit of God that we have. And you know, in spite of the failings of the people, never left them, always went before them. God never took it away. They only got it, you know, on the grounds of redemption. They never prayed for it. It was just the gift of God that gave it to them. It all answers, doesn't it? For you see, child of God, God himself gave you the Spirit. And you got it on the day of your conversion. You didn't have to pray for it. You didn't have to go to a tarrying meeting. Oh, I went to one years and years ago. But I came under the influence of some people that tried to tell me, you've got to pray for the Holy Spirit, you know. And you've got to beg and you've got to beseech God and you've got to keep crying to God because, you see, there comes a sudden experience in your life when God baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. And if you keep praying and you keep tarrying, for the Lord said to those disciples, you tarry at Jerusalem. And if you keep tarrying and you keep praying, then one day the God will give it to you. Mind you, I never forget one of the saddest things I can look back on now. To see a wee lassie, because this same people that seem to know little of the word of God, they allowed the women to take part too, you know. It's amazing, isn't it, when they all claim to be so spiritual, but they're not prepared to bow to the simplicity of the word of God. You can't have anything clearer, can you, than Corinthians 14 and 1 Timothy 2. But they'll all fight, they'll all argue. They just don't want to bow to God, you know, and they don't want to bow to the word of God. And they'll make every excuse and they'll call Paul a poor woman hater. And they'll go on, you know, with everything they can, just to defy God and defy the word of God. I'll never forget this wee lassie, you know, sat right at the back here, and when they were asking for testimonies, this little girl got up to tell us. 10 years she'd been waiting for the Spirit of God. And he's never given it to me yet. Oh, one day he'll baptize me in the Spirit. 10 years I've been waiting, she said. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. Asking bread and giving stones. Oh, I tell you, we've not a God like that. And I want to tell you, child of God, nowhere in your Bible, nowhere in your New Testament will you ever find where you're asked to pray for the Spirit of God. Never. Nowhere in your Bible will you be asked ever to pray to the Spirit of God. You neither pray for the Spirit, the child of God. It's my Lord that prays. John chapter 14, I will pray the Father, and he will send you. And child of God, on that day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came. And when the Spirit of God came, on redemption ground, unsolicited, it was God that gave, just as here, nobody asked, nobody prayed. God in his grace gave, because he knew that they needed divine leadership, right the way through the wilderness, in every experience they were passing through. And it wasn't going to depend on what they were, or how they lived. Child of God, That pillar cloud was never going to leave them. And I tell you, I bless God for the grace of God today. As my Lord prayed the Father, and the Spirit of God was given, every one of us, unsolicited, not praying for, not praying to, twice we're told in the book of Thessalonians once, and in the book of Jude, to pray in the Spirit. But that's a different thing, isn't it? Where the power and energy of the Spirit, we're praying to the Father in it. But we don't pray for, we don't pray to, but we do pray in the Spirit, child of God. But here, when we come to look at it, in spite of all that they passed through, never left it. And when I think again of my own failings, I don't have to look out there. I've only got to look in here, you know. Thank God tonight for the lovely pledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall be with you. He shall be in you, and he'll be with you forever. It didn't depend on their condition of heart. Child of God, you can't pray like David prayed, you know. You remember how David prayed, won't you, when he sinned in connection with Bathsheba? When that sin was exposed, David prays, oh, Psalm 51, and again is it Psalm 34, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Child of God, God will never do that. You can never lose the power of the Spirit. You might quench the Spirit. That has to do with assembly exercise, you know. And brethren today, they might quench the Spirit, not be exercised, not allow the Spirit of God to prompt and to use them within the gatherings. That's quenching. I might grieve the Spirit, child of God. That's personal life. If quenching has to do with the assembly exercise and my functioning within the assembly, grieving the Spirit has to do with my life and the failure of life. Child of God, I might quench, I might grieve. Not a man can blaspheme the Spirit of God that's got to Christ, can they? And when these same people that tried to tell me that I needed this so-called second blessing and I wanted this baptism, when the truth of God suddenly dawned upon me and I went back amongst them and I started to teach the truth now as I've seen it, oh dear, I tell you, they were all up in arms. And the old pastor takes me into the wee back room here and he's laying the law down and giving me a lecture because I'm trying to corrupt his young people. I said, listen, mister, you corrupted me a long time ago and a few others with me too. And I'm not trying to corrupt them. I'm trying to teach them and give them what's right. You're blaspheming the Spirit, my boy. Didn't know what it meant, you know. The child of God, a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, was to reject the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ and to attribute what he was doing to demon possession. That's blasphemy of the Spirit. You cannot blaspheme the Spirit. You bowed to the work of our Lord Jesus. You've received that blessed one. You've come to faith, child of God. You've owned that all that he did was wrought of the Spirit of God. And you can never blaspheme the Spirit. You can quench. You can grieve. But I tell you this tonight, just as here we discover that pillar cloud was given and was never to be taken away, child of God, so you tonight have received the energy and power of the Spirit. Doesn't give you license to sin, does it? Doesn't give me license to sin. But bless God, he is going to lead us all the journey through. In fact, if we discover here in Exodus 13 his presence, for it says the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. We don't only have his presence, child of God, we have the purpose, for it says to lead them and to give them light. So he wasn't only to lead them, but he was also to give them light. And I tell you, it's a good thing when the saints of God know what it is to be Spirit-led. And child of God, for the saints of God to have the light of the Spirit, you see, they would travel by night too. And you couldn't travel by night unless you got light without stumbling. Listen, child of God, he wants you to walk without stumbling. And I believe the light here is more than just showing up the way, you know, before us. Child of God, the light of the Spirit of God, to unveil the mind of God to us. And one of the blessed privileges that we have today is that the Spirit of God, he brings the truth of God to our souls. Why? God wants to give us light because he doesn't want you to be walking in error. He doesn't want you to be stumbling. He wants you, child of God, preserved on your journey home in every way. So we don't only have the presence, he was with them. We have his purpose to lead them and to give them light. Thank God we do have the permanence. When you come down to verse 22, he took it not away. We could go on a lot. I have a wee little list of things here, you see. I don't keep many notes, you know, because I try and use my, keep it up within my brains a wee bit. They're not big, but I try to do it. But I could go on a lot. And I can show you how in chapter 14, if we have his presence here in chapter 13, in chapter 14, to protect them. It's a lovely thought, isn't it? Do you remember chapter 14, they're coming to Pi-ha-hi-roth. Child of God, I love Pi-ha-hi-roth. For you know, if Ramesses is the place of deliverance, if Sukkoth is the place of pilgrim character, if Etham is the place of divine leadership, rivet thy hierarch on your mind, child of God. Rivet it on your mind. And I tell you, every one of us are going to get to a Pi-Ha Hieroth sometime. Last year, well, no, it was 2 years ago, when over on the east coast of America, up in Augusta, Maine, I came across a little family from one of the assemblies up there. And, you know, she draws beautiful little text things or what have you, you know, and just put them in little things. And she said to me, she said, "No, but just take a couple, will you?" Well, I was glad to take them. I love to put the Word of God up in my house. I'm glad to see that in many of the saints' homes. I hope you'll give the Word of God place, child of God, in your home. The story is told, you know, of this young fellow when he got married. He came and brought his father to the house and showed him all he'd done for his bride. And you know, the carpets were all so beautiful. The sweets were there. And when he took him round, there wasn't a thing missing, so the boy thought. And Dad said, "But sonny, I see your house is not complete." "Not complete, Dad? Why, I've got her everything. She's a dishwasher, she's a microwave, and there wasn't a thing missing, you. But son, it's not complete. What have I missed out, Dad? What's not here?" He said, "I can't see the Word of God upon your walls, boy. Your house is not complete." Well, I'm very glad to put them up. And I love to see and go into the homes and to see them put up. And let me tell you, one of the best places is put it right by your front door. A good one. So that when anyone comes and you open the front door, they know where you stand immediately, you know. Like having your feet shod with the gospel of peace, as we were talking about the other night. And good, when folks come to your door, they know you belong to Christ. And though the text in itself could be a pretext sometimes, you know, for spurious living, you live it out, child of God. It'll be a blessing to you. When I asked that dear soul, 2 years ago, I said to her, I said, "Look, I'd love you to do me a wee, just a word. Will you just write out for me, Pi Ha Hira?" But I said, "I'd love that, you know, and I'd love to frame it." And I went on my way, and I forgot all about it. All about it. You see, ask folks for things, and then you do forget, don't you? A year later, I was back in the States. That was just last June. July. Beginning of July. I wouldn't like to tell you what I was going through, child of God. For the night before, I tell you, I'd got some very bad, sad news, and I was in Pi-Ha-Hieroth. You know what Pi-Ha-Hieroth is, don't you? Child of God, that's where they were hedged in. But when they came to Pi-Ha-Hieroth, there at the beginning of chapter 14, you remember, it says they encamped before Pi-Ha-Hieroth between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-Zephon. I think I've been there. But when I was in the forces serving Her Majesty the Queen, I was down by what are known as the Bitter Lakes, in a little place called Fayette. And right at the back of us, there was a mountain range, now called Shubra. But then I believe it's this mountain range that we have here, Baal-Zephon. And they tell us that the very place where we were was the very place where the children of Israel crossed over and probably encamped. And with the mountain range behind them, with the sea before them, and now the enemy is coming up behind them, child of God, and they're absolutely shut in. There's no way of escape. They're in a dilemma. They're in distress. Everything is against them. Is there any hope? If God be for us. If God be for us. Child of God, there's tremendous hope. When I've heard of some of the stories of the saints of God, they've been to Pi-Ha-Hieroth. When it seems that the whole world and everything is against and there seems no possible way out. You get there, don't you? Well, let me tell you, I was in Pi-Hahiroth just nearly 12 months ago. And I came to America very, very, very distressed of mind. And you know, when I arrived here, one of the first things that was given me was a parcel. And when I opened it up, all that lovely text all laid out, you know what it was? Of course you know. And I tell you, child of God, in a moment, the pressure was gone. All the conditions were still there. But I'd learnt there was a God. And what I'd asked for nearly 12 months before, and forgotten all about it, suddenly here it comes. Pi-Hahiroth. And I've got that now in the wall of my morning room. Because we go there in the morning, you see. And in the afternoon. And in the evening. It's the room that we use all the time. And I've got it right there. And I'll never forget when I got Pi-Hahiroth. Child of God, I learned again, a God of divine deliverance. For that's Pi-Hahiroth. If here, child of God, the place of divine deliverance when all seems to fail. And our God cannot fail. Our God will not fail. But what's he going to use, please? Well, I love when we come to verse 19. As here the saints of God are going to come over the sea, but before they come over the sea, you remember how that pillar to be with them in presence with a purpose and permanence here for protection. For it says the pillar cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and right behind them and the enemy, child of God, our God knows how to deliver us. Thank God for the presence of the Spirit of God. Here now for protection on life's journey. In chapter 16, I can't touch it. But you know, when providing for them in the giving of the manna, the pillar cloud was there. And I'm glad, you know, that pillar cloud was right here. In connection with their profession of testimony. Child of God, be it outside, be it inside the gatherings. Oh, it's all the energy and power of the Spirit, isn't it? God did a wondrous job, you know, in this lovely type in a day gone by. We can see in Numbers 9, all the pilgrimage, you know, all led by the Spirit of God, never outside his movements. If only you and I could learn today what it means for God to give the Spirit of conversion. Child of God, without the Holy Spirit of God, I wonder where we would be. But bless God for all the movements of the Spirit of God in the everyday experiences of the saints of God. We'll leave it there. I want you to come on to these next six things. I was rather impressed with them today. Number one, in chapter 14, they were at the Red Sea. Number two, they came down to a place called Marah in chapter 15. And then from Marah, they came down in verse 27 of chapter 15 to a place called Elim. Then, child of God, they come into the wilderness of Sin to get the manna. And then they come to Horeb to get the water. And then they stand against Amalek in the battle. What does it all mean? Well, I want you to take the first here. And I want you to take the last here. But here, child of God, when we come to the Red Sea, I notice that what God is going to do is going to deliver them, bring them right the way through, separate their feet from Egypt forever. They might go back in mind. They might go back in heart. But the feet never went back, you know. And some of us, we might get back into Egypt in mind, and we might get back into Egypt in heart. But child of God, don't let your feet get back there, will you? And if you can help it, please, don't let your mind or your heart get back there. Because I tell you, when they got back in mind and heart, that's when failure came in. And when the saints of God get a desire for Egypt again, and when they lose sight of the pilgrim character and what God is bringing them to, child of God, when their hearts move back to Egypt, I want to tell you that's when the troubles come in. Keep your feet out of Egypt. Get them out of Egypt. And don't let Egypt destroy you, will you? But here, when you come to the Red Sea, I notice when they come out and come onto the other side, All their enemies are destroyed in the water. Here what I discover at the Red Sea, child of God, is that Egypt is destroyed. And you know what Egypt speaks of, don't you? Egypt speaks of the world, with all its alluring pleasures. I tell you, it's good when they go under the water, isn't it? And it's good, child of God, when they never rise again. For the child of God has got somewhere when he's learned what the Red Sea is, you know. You know what the Red Sea is, don't you? The Red Sea, child of God, is your baptism. You see, if here we have our conversion, if here we have the Spirit of God taking his presence with us, here we have our baptism. And I notice that if conversion and the pillar cloud come together, for they must come together, both of them are mighty acts of God, and they speak of what God has done at our conversion, here, child of God, this is what follows. And I don't have to guess that it's a figure of baptism. Again, we read the verses the first night we were together in the book of Corinthians in chapter 10, when it says, they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Two baptisms. All were baptized here. Not just a few, you know, that happened to follow a little particular creed or doctrine. And if you're in our little club here, or go to our little gathering, then we'll see you baptized in the Spirit. But all the rest of the mass of the saints of God, they know nothing about this great truth. Well, something strange, isn't it? You be careful of any doctrine like that, won't you? They were all baptized, child of God. And that, of course, answers 1 Corinthians 12, doesn't it? I don't know why some of these folks don't read the Bible. If they did, perhaps they might come to a little bit more understanding, and perhaps they might not be able to put such perverse doctrines abroad that so disturb the saints of God and cause a lot of distress. Just get the verses, child of God, hold on to them, and you're going to be well. See what Paul says? We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Every believer is baptized in the Spirit, or by the Spirit, or into one Spirit, whichever it is. I'm just trying to think of little prepositions, you see. My mind wasn't thinking of that too much. But we're all there, child of God, just as if we're all baptized. And you know, that came before this. For that was linked with this. In other words, the Spirit of God was linked with my salvation, child of God, not linked with my baptism in water. But all baptized unto Moses in the cloud, there's the baptism of the Spirit. And they were all baptized unto Moses in the sea. So here is the figure of baptism. That's what it is. And child of God, I notice when I come to this great chapter that at least three things happened that would be very typical of what happened in your conversion, in your baptism. The first thing was, it was to deliver them from Egypt forever. That's where we were a moment or two ago. And when you took your place in baptism, child of God, it was a signal sign that you had finished with the world, for Egypt's the figure of the world. And child of God, the book of Colossians chapter 3, telling us that since we have been baptized with our Lord Jesus Christ, it's now dead to the world, but we're risen with Christ. And when I come here, child of God, I notice that we've finished with the world and finished with it forever. And in your baptism, you're finished with the world. But you didn't only, weren't only finished with the world. The enemy that held you was destroyed too. But it was here, wasn't it, that Pharaoh and his folk, and all his captains, we saw that on two occasions, his captains. But I love to think, child of God, not only the devil himself, but all satanic hosts. I'm thinking of Hebrews 2, you know, destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And I'm thinking of Colossians 2, I love these verses, I tell you, when it speaks of my blessed Lord there at Calvary, who stripped principalities and powers, triumphed over them, made a show of them openly, child of God, all satanic forces set at naught. And I've been linked with that blessed one, his death and resurrection. Here I discover Pharaoh and his captain,
the whole host, child of God. They all perished in the sea. So I discover not only am I finished with the world, but I'm also finished with that which held me. And today, the devil has no power. The satanic forces have no power. Child of God, we've been delivered. When we come to the first deliverance from Egypt, that's Colossians 3. When we come to the second deliverance from the powers that held me, that's Romans 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What? Know ye not that so many as have been baptized unto Christ, baptized unto his death? Child of God, the powers that would have motivated my life, the sin that would have gripped me, and Satan's power, all been dealt with. And in my baptism, I'm showing now that I've finished with the world, and Satan's power is done with. Again, there's another thing, because I see here that when they came through here, it wasn't only that the world was finished, that all the enemy was finished, but child of God, from this point onwards, absolutely devoted to God. They were baptized unto Moses. He became the leader. And you know, the book of Galatians chapter 3 says, know ye not that so many as were baptized unto Christ. You see, my baptism, child of God, it didn't only finish with the world, Egypt. My baptism didn't only put at naught satanic powers, but my baptism devoted me to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he became everything to me. That's the book of Galatians. And chapter 3, three things happen here, and those three things happen in my baptism, child of God. A blessed thing when we get there. And we learn that all our enemies are finished with, and our feet are out of Egypt. Hear the Spirit of God guiding us safely home in everything, but now separating us forever from the world in which we're living. How would you come to that last one? Because I want to take that first of these six and that last one, child of God. If this is the world, this is the flesh. For you see, there's not only the world that's an enemy. And the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 speaks about a Moses that despised the pleasures of sin. That's Egypt, child of God. I was nearly telling you not to get too embroiled, you know, with this Expo thing, and particularly with its fun rides, you know, and everything. Eh? You be careful, won't you? The pleasures of sin. I hope you're separate, child of God, from the world and its pleasures. And I hope you've done what a Moses did. And I hope in your baptism you've dealt with it. And I hope your feet, you know, are not going to get resurrected again. That's the dead one. And I hope you're not going to get linked. I'm not objecting to going around the exhibition and so on, but be careful with the worldly side of it, won't you? Be careful with it. Because there's too many believers today that think very, very little of lining themselves up with a godless world that crucified Christ. Be careful with it, won't you? But you know, there's not only the world. If the first is the world, the last is the flesh. For Amalek, it says, then cometh Amalek. And we'll notice now, child of God, I was going to leave it for later, it was to a people who were feeding and drinking of divine provision. And this speaks of Christ, and this speaks of Christ. And child of God, a people feeding and drinking on Christ, it then cometh Amalek. And you know, it's usually to a people that are knowing something of the presence of God and getting on with divine things. Then cometh Amalek. And Amalek, child of God, you know who he was, don't you? The firstborn of Esau's eldest. Who was Esau? He was passed over in the line of promise. He was the man of activity of the flesh, the hairy man, and so on. And Amalek ever speaks, child of God, of the flesh in activity. So there's not only the problem of the world, you know, there's the problem of the flesh. If here the sea opens up mightily of God and my baptism is going to deal with the world, listen, that won't deal with the flesh, will it? And I'm glad what deals with the flesh. There's two things deal with the flesh. There was a man above and there was a man below. Above there was a Moses, and below there was a Joshua. The man above, he's the man of prayer. The man below, he's the man with a sword.
You know what the sword is, don't you? For you'll take unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Child of God, if I'm going to defeat the flesh, two things are going to be needed, you know. And number one, I'm going to need prayer. And number two, I'm going to need to saturate myself in the word. And you know who it was that Amalek got hold of? The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, I think it is, tells you, when God says, you'll destroy him forever, you'll remember what he did and you'll deal with him and destroy him. That's when the Sauls you know about. For Saul still allowed the king of Amalek to live. They could hear the bleating of the sheep, the very best of the sheep. They wanted the best of what Amalek had got, child of God. And they preserved his king alive. But I tell you, he lost everything, did a Saul. And Saul's a carnal man. Brother, sister, when we allow the flesh to dominate, we're like Saul, you know. We're carnal men. God wants it dealt with and God wants it finished with. You must deal with the flesh, child of God. If you're going to be anything for God, you'll never be anything for God unless you've dealt with the world. And you'll never be anything for God unless you've dealt with the flesh. And when I come to look at Amalek, Deuteronomy tells me, child of God, He came upon the hindermost and upon the feeble of the people. And it was the poor feeble ones, you know, that suffered. Brother, sister, don't you be feeble spiritually, will you? Get into the presence of God on your knees. You equip yourself with the sword of God, the word of God. For that's the only thing that can combat Amalek and can defeat Amalek. I do love this figure up here, you know. When it tells us of a Moses that was sat upon the stone and there was an Aaron and an Ur. You remember what the book of Timothy says, don't you? When it talks about the saints praying, it says, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And I've often wondered, you know, when there they were and they were holding them up and the rod was up. What was the rod here? It was the rod here. There's a mediatorial work, child of God, that is going to deliver me from the world, and it's a mediatorial work that's going to deliver me from the flesh, and the rod is lifted up. You'll take the rod with you. And as they're holding up those arms, I can imagine, if they're a wee bit like me, you know, just what's the point of all this? What's the point of it? Wouldn't it be better with a sword in the hand and to be down there and to be fighting with our brethren? Maybe an Aaron. There was a bit of wrath there. And maybe with an Ur, there was a little bit of doubting there. You know, oh, if only I could get down there and take up the sword. Just what's the point of this? You know, this accomplishes nothing. Ah, but child of God, while those hands were off, there was victory. And you know what? The saints of God are ever in prayer before God and handling the word of God. The flesh will never be able to defeat you. So these are lovely pictures, you know. The first, deliverance from the world. The last, deliverance from the flesh. But you know, when you come to the next here, you come to Marah. That has to do with water. You come to Horeb. That has to do with water. So if the two have to do with enemies that are defeated, these two, child of God, have to do with water. And when we come to look at these two things in connection with water, I tell you, child of God, it's a blessed thing, isn't it? Marah, they came there. And here they learned, as they come out of Egypt, they come 3 days' journey. That's what it tells us when you come to chapter 15. I was a little bit disturbed about that. And I've not yet discovered why. Because when Moses went to Pharaoh, his message was, let my people go 3 day journey into the wilderness. And I can understand the 3 days there, child of God, because if we're going to worship God, it must be on the basis of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, isn't it?
That's the 3 days' journey, you know. The 3 days from Calvary, child of God, to the hour of his resurrection. And if I'm going to worship God, I must know what it is to be identified with that blessed, crucified, resurrected man. Child of God, without it, I can't worship God. But when I come here, and I discover they've just come over the wilderness, they've gone 3 days. They're not worshipping, they're murmuring. I've never discovered why. But they ought to have been worshippers here. But the chorus of the earlier part of the chapter, where it says, then sang Moses, as they come out of Egypt and their enemies had been destroyed, and joy gets into the heart, the chorus becomes a complaint. And it says, as they went the 3 days' journey into the wilderness, they found no water. Child of God, God has to teach them lessons, you know. And they're going to have to discover that this world is a wilderness wild. There's nothing to gain here. And what they're going to learn is that as they're passing through this wilderness scene, child of God, what would be a natural supply could never meet a need of the saints of God. Here, what was it that was going to provide the need? It was the branch casting. And that branch casting, oh, it does remind me of my servant, the branch. And it does remind me so beautifully of our Lord Jesus. Child of God, he's the one to meet the present need of the saints of God. And it's only as Christ is brought into circumstances that you and I will be able to find any pleasure here. I had thought that the time wouldn't allow me just to trace a few of them. But you remember, won't you, how that if they were to learn that the world cannot satisfy. Child of God, there was a Naomi. No, she learnt what Mara was. Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. The world had become a bitter place. But there was a wee branch there. There was a girl called Ruth. And she was cast in. And you know, child of God, a long life's journey. Whenever we come to the Maras, there's always a branch that is cast in. But if here we would discover again that there was water, a branch cast in, here they come into Horeb, there's water again. Divine supply. Child of God, we need divine supply. We would see that the manna would give us strength. This here would give us satisfaction. For there's nothing like taking a drink of water, you know. Last week, we were over on the island. Good brother took us over to Long Island, wherever that might be. And it was absolutely pouring down. You don't expect anything else here, do you? I've discovered a place worse than Manchester. And if I see these clouds up yonder, and they're not pulling them down, I think they're just going back for the refills, you know. And they're empty, going back for refills. They're the most awful things I've ever seen in my life. All this water over here. I didn't know there was mountains around this place for about 4 or 5 days. There was so much cloud about. I'm glad I wasn't flying, or I could have been in trouble. But, child of God, if this here speaks of satisfaction, sustenance, this speaks of satisfaction. When we were coming back from the island, you know, the water was pouring out of the rocks. And I said, just stop the car a wee bit. And I got a little container, you know, and I went and got it underneath. And, boy, it was lovely. Wouldn't mind a wee drop now when I think about it. It was lovely. That'll keep me going for another half hour now. I'm sorry you haven't got one. But that's what it speaks of, child of God. And oh, to get satisfaction. Satisfaction. And when you can get satisfaction with a Christ casting. But this is a lovely picture, isn't it? That rock. The rock that is higher than I. Twice they come to the rock, you know, and twice God in his grace, he opens the rock, and twice he gives them water. Here, in the book of Numbers and chapter 17, isn't it? And again, the book of Exodus chapter 17, and again in the book of Numbers and chapter 20. I remember years ago, when I first came to read it, I couldn't understand why the book of Corinthians said, that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. How could that rock be Christ? How could that rock be Christ? I'll have to tell you.
I went to Brother Albert Leckie. Because he knows all the answers, you see. If we don't know them all. And he started going, I said, but yes, Brother, why is it Christ? Ah, he said, Norman, you know, the first time they smote it, speaking of his death, the second time they have to speak to it, speaking of a resurrected Christ. And if we're going to get satisfaction, it's from a smitten Christ. And water flows from a smitten Christ. But the second time, you cannot smite him. Child of God, it must be that you speak to the rock. And I thought, I can see why that rock's Christ. And all the power and energy of the Spirit that flows to satisfy this little weary soul of mine, it comes from a Christ that was smitten here at Horeb. The child of God, Moses took the elders, he took the rod. If it was a branch here, it's a rod here. And he smote that rock. And I do like the very word that's used, you know, because the word just simply means a sharp boulder. And here my blessed Lord came. And Calvary, he felt it all. And from it has come the full supply of the Spirit for you and for me. You remember the second time, won't you? Moses, you'll not speak to it. Sorry, Moses, you'll not smite it. But you'll take the rod. But it wasn't this rod, child of God. For this rod was the rod wherewith he smitten the sea. It was his own rod. But the rod that he smote, this one, was the rod that was laid up before the Lord. That was Aaron's rod that budded. If this was the mediatorial rod, because you see, this is his death. This was the high priestly rod, for this is his resurrection. And in resurrection, child of God, you cannot smite the Lord Jesus. Moses spoiled a type. That's why he lost the land. You be careful with divine things and what God tells you, won't you? We could lose a lot, you know. Moses lost everything because the chiding of the people finally got on his nerves. And that's a sad thing. One of my good brethren at home said, he said, Norman, you can't always fight. Saints of God, make it easy for your elders, will you? Make it easy for them. Don't make it hard for them. Just go on with the truth of God. Don't be looking for things new, will you? Just go on for the simplicity of things that are in Christ, and don't be always chiding and fighting. But I tell you, those men have got an awful lot of burdens to bear, whether you believe it or not. And they've got the mind of God before them. And they want to honour God and they want to glorify God. Moses broke under the strain of it all, you know.
And he lost everything here. And he spoiled the type. For here, it wasn't just a sharp rock or a boulder. The word is that is used in the book of Numbers is a different word. And it means a lofty rock. For here's a Christ in exaltation. And it's not the mediatorial rod. It's Aaron's rod. It's the priestly rod. And he wasn't to smite it, he was to speak to it. But, hear now, ye rebels!
You might think it, you know, but never say it. Will you? You might think it, but never say it. Now, God had said it. And Moses had heard God say it, you know.
God said it back here. We'll see that on Sunday. God had called them rebels. But child of God, God can call his own what he likes. But I tell you this, he'll never have you calling his own what you like. He wouldn't allow Miriam to speak against Moses. And he wouldn't allow Moses to speak against Israel. And he wouldn't allow that unsaved man Balaam to speak against them.
Let me tell you, it's a very serious thing to speak against the saints, you know. But because they chided him a little bit too far and because they kept going on and on, suddenly, wearying with it all, Moses said, here now you rebel, and he smote it twice. Child of God, he should never have done it. For that rock was Christ. And it followed them. But now, out of priestly ministry and intercession, child of God, there's a satisfying flow of the Spirit of God that will meet your need every day. For these are lovely things, you know. They are to me, anyway. Could we not get out of Egypt forever?
Could we not see that the flesh is dealt with? Could we not see, child of God, that there is a branch here to meet our need, and that there is a rock that we can drink from? Oh, the precious supply for his own, child of God, enough to sustain us all the journey home. But then here and here we find right in the middle, if this is the extreme and here's the extreme, the world and the flesh, and then our water and water, here's two things in the middle. Child of God, when we find them coming to Elim, and we find them getting this divine supply of the manna, it's good, you know, when you and I can feed, and when you and I can rest. They were resting under 70 palm trees, doesn't it tell us there, by 12 wells, in verse 27 of chapter 15, they came to Elim. Elim just simply means the mighty one. And here they're going to rest in the place of the mighty one. 12 wells, one for each tribe, 70 palm trees. 12 is the number of administration. 70 was also the government that was required for Israel, 70 elders. The Old Testament Greek version is called the Septuagint, or however you say it, meaning the 70, child of God. They come under good administration. They come under good leadership. And there they got rest, and there they got refreshment. When we're getting it, child of God, we'll be blessed too. But it seems to me that when I look at verse 27, you have natural supply. But when you come to chapter 16, child of God, and you come to the wilderness of sin, and you get the manna, that's spiritual supply. And my God does sometimes allow the things of nature about us just to satisfy our hearts. But I'm going to tell you, it's basically the idea of governmental dealings that's behind it all. But child of God, right in the middle, here we have this lovely manna. And here was God's provision. They sat by the flesh pots of Egypt, they tell us in those early verses. But child of God, the flesh pots of Egypt are not for the believer. Here's God's supply for his own. The manna that was rained down, there's a bountiful supply. A portion to be got every day for us all. I hope, child of God, we're feeding well. And I hope we're feeding on God's bounty that is given for us. I hope, child of God, it's not the flesh pots of Egypt. But you shouldn't be desiring it anymore. But just get yourself into that which God has given to you. Feed your soul, child of God. Get your certain rate every day. And you'll be strengthened by it. Shall we just commend ourselves to God and seek his blessing? Father, once again we bow before thee. We thank thee for so much precious truth. Perhaps we're unable to handle it as we'd love to handle it. We feel the weakness of it all. We thank thee that here are pictures and types laid down centuries before that so beautifully fit the day in which we're living. We thank thee again for the giving of the Spirit. We thank thee for baptism that separates us from the world. We thank thee for the branch that's been cast in. We bless thee, Lord, that we can find that which would satisfy here. We thank thee for divine provision in the person of our Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the bread of life. We thank thee for the water from the rock. We bless thee for him that's gone on high. We thank thee for all that flows. And we thank thee for the means of victory over the flesh. We thank thee for prayer, and we thank thee for the word. We pray, O God, that these things might dominate us. And we ask that they might mark and mould us. And we pray that we might be what we ought to be for thee. These things we ask as we commit thy children into thy hand, and ask thy rich blessing again, as we separate one from another, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ.